The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
I have a question before we start, which is very important. Is there anybody here who has a little bottle of hand sanitizer on you? I need to borrow it for a second. Now, for those of you who have hand sanitizer on you, how many of you are willing to admit that you're a germaphobe? You know, don't we, how many times do you come in the house from going to the store and being someplace, you're like, I gotta wash my hands, right? You don't want to touch anything. My kids, they touch everything. And if I didn't stop them, they'd touch everything with their lips. Even at 8 and 5, or 7 and 5. My wife, and I must admit, my wife has made me more of a germaphobe than anything, because she's very much, wash your hands when you get in the house. You know, how many of you, if I sneezed and then I went like this, would feel uncomfortable? Yeah, Dee's like, I'm getting this shirt off of here. That's why I did that. There was, I don't know if you guys remember, there were two doctors who were working with Doctors Without Borders. And they were working in West Africa. And they were working with the Ebola victims. And they contracted the disease. Now, if you know anything about Ebola, it's extremely contagious and it's extremely deadly. Very few people survive it. And there was a big hoopla because what happened was they brought them back to the United States and they're like, they're bringing Ebola onto our continent. Now, if we understand how they did it, they were in sealed beds in the airplane. But there was a big deal about it. We didn't want to get it. We're all so afraid of getting a communicable disease. But you know, the thing about it is that you're more likely to die of natural causes than you are to get a disease that's going to kill you. Now, I always say, and I do believe this, this world is out to get us. There's a lot of bad stuff out there. And we try our best to keep us from getting it. We wash our hands. I'm sorry, guys, but I cringe when I'm in the bathroom, at the public bathroom, and somebody goes and uses the bathroom and then walks out and doesn't wash their hands. I'm almost like, I'm stuck. How am I going to open the door? You know? We're so afraid to get sick. But I want to say something. I wish we felt the same way about a sickness that is even more deadly. And that's sin. I wish, well, first of all, well, there is really. I wish there was, you know, we could just, once we sin, we just get hand sanitizer out, you know. But we can. Not hand sanitizer, but heart sanitizer. I wish we would be more concerned about how much sin is in our life and how we let it into our lives than about some deadly disease. Now, if you remember when we started the series on Mark, I said the core verse, the main verse of this is actually Mark 10:45. And we're going to put it up on the screen. And I want us to say this together out loud. So please repeat with me. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the core crux of the book of Mark. This book is about Jesus' service, his service to us. It begins with his service. It ends with his sacrifice. And even though this book is all about his service and there are no parables in it, it is still a book of teaching. Because every single one of his miracles teaches us something. When Jesus goes and he heals the blind man, he is bringing light to a dark soul. He brings light to a dark soul. When he calms the storm, he's showing that he has the power over all of nature, all of creation. Why? Because he created it. And he has the power to control, to calm the storms in our lives and bring us peace. When he raises the dead, he shows that he has the power of life and death. He's teaching us that. When he feeds the 5,000, he speaks about the fact that he is the bread of life. It's him who we need to feed on daily. But probably the most profound miracle that he performs is when he heals the leper. Because leprosy, and we're going to talk a lot about leprosy today, leprosy is a great, great picture of our sin. It's an awesome picture of our sin. Now we're going to be in Mark 1, verses 40 through 45. So if you want to take your Bibles and open them to Mark 1, 40 to 45. And then I'm going to ask that you stand, as we usually do when we read God's Word, as in honor of being in God's presence and reading His Word. And this is what it says. It says, and a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him his way at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it, spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it and believe. Father, we praise you for your word. We praise you for the miracles that you performed. And Lord, we praise you for the miracles you perform today. You came to serve and to bring light into a dark place. Help us, Lord, to see that light and help us to be that light. Amen. You may be seated. Leprosy, which is called Hansen's disease today, has some really insidious beginnings. It's not something that you wake up one day and, oh, I touched someone with leprosy yesterday, now I have leprosy. It's something that hides dormant in your system from anywhere from 5 to 20 years. So you could have leprosy and not know it. You could. You won't show any signs of it. It's slow progressing. It doesn't just come on. You know. Usually the night before I'm going to get sick, and if I'm going to get a fever, I feel achy. Just don't feel good. You don't know that. It slowly progresses, and it comes to a point where it destroys your life. It's one of the reasons it's a powerful symbol for the moral depravity that we have in our life called sin, is because sin is very similar to leprosy. So we have, Jesus has been out, he's been doing miracles. He's performed some amazing miracles in Capernaum and around the surrounding area. He's healed the blind. He's healed the deaf. He has made the lame walk. He's brought demons. He's thrown demons out of people. He's done a lot of physical healing. He has brought light to a very dark, dark place. But he's also brought spiritual healing. He goes into the synagogues. He teaches. He enlightens. They're amazed at his teaching. But there's one place that it doesn't always reach, and it finally does, and that is the leper colony that is outside the city. News finally reaches that there's somebody healing people, healing them. What's interesting about leprosy is what it does. What leprosy does is it attacks the nervous system. It attacks the nervous system in such a way that you don't feel pain anymore. So if I had leprosy, I would not, if you came up and you took a knife and you cut my arm, I would not feel it. I would not even know that you had done it. So you start losing feelings. And so when you're doing your everyday life, you fall into a fire, you don't feel the pain. You're burning your hand, you're getting cut, you're hitting yourself. I don't know about you, but man, when I hit something, when I hit my head on the corner of the cabinet door that's open, I feel it for days. Some people will say, explain some things about me sometimes. But you feel it. But when you have leprosy, you can't feel it. It is so bad in parts of Western Africa or in parts of Africa that the vermin will come at night and will chew on you. They'll chew your fingers off. And you'll wake up in the morning, your fingers will be gone, and you won't even know it because you never felt it, or your toes. It eats away at you. And there's nothing, at least at the time of Christ, we have ways to defeat it now. We have medicines that can control it and destroy it. But back then, there was nothing. There was nothing you could do to eliminate your leprosy. Nothing. So we have this leper coming to Jesus. And he has no illusion about who he is. He knows he's a leper. Okay? Not only does he look at himself and see it, but society makes sure that he remembers that he's a leper. They do. There's rules that they have to abide by. In Leviticus 13, 45, and 46, a leper had to wear torn clothes. So you couldn't wear a regular clothes. Your clothes had to be torn. And if you come into a group of people, you had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean!" You could only stand so many feet upwind from somebody that didn't have leprosy. You couldn't live inside the city. You lived outside the city with all the other lepers, all the other people who were sick. There's a stigma, and they made sure you knew you were unclean. If you touched somebody who was a leper, you were unclean. You see, the spiritual reality of it is, people, that we are spiritual lepers. We're unclean. We are unclean. But unlike the leprosy of the text today, we, a lot of times, don't even realize it. We don't realize that we're full of sin. Society doesn't help. Society doesn't tell us. A lot of the things that we deal with in our sin lives, the society tells us, hey, that's normal. Oh, you're struggling with that? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's normal. It's all right. Yeah, unfortunately, it is normal. It's normal in a fallen world that doesn't know Jesus. And it doesn't mean that if you do know Jesus, he's going to take it away. It means he's going to deal with it with you. But many times we don't even know. And see, sin has this way of talking to us. It tells us two things. First of all, it tries to convince us that you're not a sinner. Oh, no, you're not a sinner. You're okay. And then it goes to the other extreme and tries to convince you, you are so bad, there's nothing that anybody can do for you. It lies to you on both ends. The leper in Jesus' time, they were told, oh, you must have this because you sinned. And there's nothing anybody can do for you, so you're stuck. Deal with it. Jesus comes along and says, I don't think so. He comes along in our lives and says, no, I'm here. So this leper comes to Jesus and he speaks to him. But how he does it humbly. He falls down and humbly approaches Jesus. And he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Wow, what a statement. Now, I know this man is probably thinking, Jesus can heal me of my leprosy. And what Jesus happens is Jesus is moved to compassion for this man. And I don't mean this, oh, poor fella, or bless his heart. You know, that's not the kind it is. What it is, it's this compassion for him that burns inside his heart, that just envelops him completely. This man's humbleness saying, if you're willing, you can make me clean. This leper knew he could not save himself. There's nothing he could do for his sickness. And it wasn't that he doubted Jesus could heal him. He knew that Jesus could heal him. He just didn't know whether he would. Now that's kind of odd, don't you think? Wouldn't Jesus heal him? I'm sorry, Jesus did not heal everybody. Everybody who was sick in his area, in his time, he didn't heal everybody. He healed some people. He didn't heal everybody. This man did not know whether or not Jesus would heal him. You and I should never doubt that Jesus can heal us. Okay? The question is it within God's will that it happens? He can. There's nothing that Jesus can't do. We look at 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. Paul is talking here about something he's dealing with. He says, so to keep me from becoming conceited, which would have been very easy for Paul to be conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, which means something physically he was dealing with. God gave him something that he had to deal with physically. A messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Is it within God's will that you be physically healed? Not always. But is it within God's will that you be spiritually healed? Yes, always. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but what? That all should come to repentance. We should never doubt that Jesus can heal us spiritually. He will. That is his goal. We are always, God always wants us to be healed spiritually, but not always physically. I do not believe that the aches and pains that I have in my body today, standing right here, right now, are going to be gone in my lifetime. It is the thorn in my side that God has given me. That's okay. I deal with it. I'm all right with it. If it's God's will, then it's God's will. He will help me because it makes me rely on him more than me. But if I have spiritual issues, which I think all of us do, and I'm working on mine, he will heal me because that is always his will, to heal me spiritually. But in order for that to happen, I have to be like the leper. I have to come to Christ in humbleness. You know, it's hard for us to be humble sometimes. Wait a minute, let me rephrase that. I think it's hard for us to be humble all the time. It's outside of our character. We have to work at it. It's an effort we need to make. But we must come to him in humbleness. This leper, he comes, he falls flat on his face in humbleness. He knows what his condition is. He knows he's a leper. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not perfect, God. I know, but I also know that you can use me, and I also know that you can heal me spiritually. You have forgiven me of my sins, but I know my condition. This leper knew who he was. And he knew that that condition at that time was hopeless without the power of Jesus. And I want to tell you right now, our spiritual condition, the level and the condition of our spirit is no less hopeless without the power of Jesus Christ. Without his power, we are spiritually lost. And Jesus is filled with compassion. Now, Jesus is so filled with compassion, what does he do? He reaches down, and the man is down, and he touches the man. Where's the sanitizer, right? Jesus has now touched a man who is unclean. Jesus could have healed him any number of ways. This is one of the few, I think there are 8 things in times in Mark that Jesus actually touches the person he's healing. He doesn't touch everybody. So why this man? Why, like I talked about last week, why Peter's mother-in-law? Why did he touch her? We were talking about it in a small group, and it was said, hey, maybe it was because that's what they needed. They needed to feel the touch of Christ. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably it. It very likely could be. They needed these people, this man, this leper, needed to feel the touch. Think about that. You're a leper. Nobody touches you. If he was married, he has not felt the touch of his wife, the kiss of his wife, in ages. Chances are he's had this for a long time. Nobody comes up and touches a leper. Even other lepers don't touch a leper. If he has kids, he's probably never felt the hug of his child. Chances are they're grown now at this time. See, Jesus wanted this man to know that I understand. I know. I love you. I'm going to touch you. That man needed it. He needed to be touched. He needed to know, not only just know that Jesus was willing to touch him and to heal him, he needed to feel that Jesus was willing to touch him and wanted to heal him. He needed to feel that, and Jesus touched him and said, basically says, I'm with you. I understand. I love you. And he says, I'm willing. Be healed. Now, we have a choice to make, you and I. We can just ignore everybody around us. We can stick our fingers in our ears, close our eyes, close our mouth, and we could just ignore everyone around us. We can treat everybody like a leper with nothing to do with them. Or we can reach out and get to know those around us. It's a choice we make. It's a choice. And there is no way we will ever, ever affect people the way Christ did in our oikos unless we reach out and we touch them. I know it's hard. It's easier for guys. We can shake hands. If you're around me long enough, you'll realize I'm a hugger. Guys, so look out. I'll be hugging. Adam's experienced it. Makes him feel a little queasy. It's okay. Pastor hugged me today. It's okay. If we want to affect people the way Christ did, we must reach out. We must touch them. We must be in their presence. Unless we are willing to take their hand, we will never be Christ to them. Unless we are willing to step into their lives and be in touch with them and in touch with who they are and where they are and what they think, we will never be Christ to them. We must. We have to. The Church needs to do it. We need to lay our hands on some rotting flesh in our neighborhoods. We do. It's the only way we can be Christ to these people around us. Those in our oikos. Those we know. Those we love. We better love. We need to love. And if you've got that neighbor and you don't love them, this is not even in my notes. If you have a neighbor and you don't love them, you better be praying that God gives you the love for them. Because we are to love our neighbor. And we are to touch our neighbor and touch their lives. Now, I want you to imagine this scene when Jesus touches them and everybody around him doesn't understand. First of all, I mean, there are crowds around Jesus and this leper comes up. You can bet that it was like parting of the Red Sea, you know? Everybody's like, leper. There's a leper. And he walks up to Jesus and Jesus reached out and touched him. And you can imagine that people were like, he touched the leper. Don't touch Jesus. He touched him. The disciples, the people, they were astonished because Jesus now would be ceremonially unclean. I mean, barring the fact that he might contract the disease, now he's unclean. And if he's unclean and I touch him, oh my gosh, now I'm unclean and now I got to go through the whole process of washing. Got to get the hand sanitizer out. But see, the crowd was not Jesus' concern. His concern was for the man, the leper. And you know what? Our concern should not be the crowd. Our concern should be that person whose life we're touching, not the crowd. Then the miracle happens. Jesus heals him. The leprosy begins to go away. All of a sudden, it's gone. It leaves him. He went from unclean, unclean, to clean, clean. Right? He went from unclean to clean. This is what Jesus can do in an instant. That's what Jesus wants us to do for people. It's to be in their life and touch their life and take them from unclean to clean. You've got that neighbor who nobody likes. Nobody wants to talk to. You know, he's got this. Not only does he have the sign in his yard that says, "Stay off my lawn," you know, he comes out and says, "Stay off my lawn." What if he went over there? Don't walk across his lawn. Walk up his driveway and go knock on the door and say, "Hey man, I just want you to know that I've been praying for you and I care for you." And you get to know him a little bit. And you say, "Let's go get some coffee." He's willing to sit down with you. Now, he may not be willing to sit down with you, but you keep praying for him. And believe me, do not go over there and say you're praying for him if you haven't been. That's lying. Pray for him or her. Go sit down with them. Ask them their story. Find out what their life has been like. And you'll figure out why they are the way they are. Just listen to them. That's what Jesus was doing with the leper. He listened to him. Jesus knew what the man, I mean, come on, it was obvious what he needed, right? He's a leper. He needs to be clean. But Jesus listened to him and he says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, "I'm willing." Sit and listen. Share your story. Say, "Yeah, man, I know. It's tough sometimes when people don't treat you right. This is what I've experienced." And don't go back to, you know, in eighth grade, I lost a girlfriend. You know, that's not what we're talking about. And if you don't understand what he's going through or she's going through, say, "Man, I don't understand it. I haven't had experience that in my life. But I know somebody who cares. And here's what he did for you. He died for you. And I just want you to know that." And then let it go. You don't need to give them the four spiritual laws. You don't need to take them down the Roman road. You need to share Jesus with them. And then meet with them again. And meet with them again. The man is clean. But there are still rules that Jesus is following. So he tells the man, you need to go to the priest, show them, and they will say that you are now clean. Now, why would he do that? Because, well, number one, that is the rule. That's what you are to do as a Jew. If leprosy leaves you, you go to the priest declares you clean, you're clean. The other thing was that it was the very priest and scribes and Pharisees who said you had to walk around and have the stigma about you that would never be willing to help you. They could do nothing to help you with your leprosy. You yelling out unclean, unclean, wearing rags did not help you with your leprosy. So Jesus is saying, as proof to them, to the scribes and the Pharisees, go and show them. Show them what I did, because I did what they couldn't. And I did what the law could not do. Because the law cannot clean you. This very man that the priest would declare unclean was made clean by Jesus. So what happens? What does the man do? The exact opposite that Jesus tells him to do. Now, this creates some problems. I wonder about this. I've sat and thought about this. I'm like, well, if Jesus told him to do it, he should have done it. If he didn't do it, you know, would Jesus make his leprosy come back? You know? He disobeyed God. He disobeyed God. And he goes out and he starts spreading the word. To the point where Jesus can no longer go into a village. He can no longer go into the synagogue and teach. Because there are so many people coming to him, wanting him to what? Heal them. Now, why did he come? Did he come to heal everybody's physical illness? No. He came to heal them spiritually. So now he's out in a desolate place, and everybody's coming out to him. Now, I'm not going to say that it hampered his ministry. It changed it. There's no doubt. There's no doubt it changed his ministry. It created a serious issue for him. It would be a lot more difficult to find a desolate place to go because they'll be following you around everywhere you go. And we find out in the tellings of this and the narratives that that's exactly what happens. He has a hard time finding a quiet place to go off. But his mission still continued. It didn't stop him. It just changed what was happening. There are people in our world today, in our very own oikos, that are hurting, both physically and spiritually. And sometimes we can help them with the physical, whether it's financial or whether it's, just tough things going on. They need help with getting kids to a certain place or, you know, they're dealing with abuse. They're dealing with addiction. But they're also hurt spiritually. They're lost. They're looking for something. And I hate to say this, but they will never, ever come into the doors of this church. They won't. Because this is not what they need in their eyes. What they really need is Jesus. And they need you to be Jesus to them. They need you to bring Jesus to them. Now, they don't go around saying they're unclean, right? But they are. And they need us to help them become clean. And it's not, and I want to make sure we understand this. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit works the same way with everybody. He does. There are some people will go through a whole process of life and feel the influence of Jesus, and all of a sudden one day they'll realize, wait a minute, somewhere along the line I started believing in Jesus, and I don't even know when that was. It just happens. Others, it's a moment at an altar. Boom. And they're on their way. For others, it's a long process. We got to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work whatever way He wants to work. But see, people long for the touch. They long to be touched by somebody who understands, someone who really loves them. My kids know I love them. So in the morning, Caleb came up and, you know, came up and just gave me a huge hug. Good morning, Daddy. He knows I love him. And I tell him, I love you. And he says, I love you. I long for that hug as much as he does. People long for the touch in their lives for somebody who cares and who loves them. This is what Jesus wants for us to do. That's why he placed those people in our lives, so that we could touch them with the love of Christ and touch them physically. Jesus came to be a servant. And we are never more like Jesus than when we are serving others. When we are loving others with touch. There's power in it. There's power in touching. But we have to be willing and humble and obedient. See, we have to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and walk up to somebody and touch them. Now, some of us, my comfort zone's pretty small. I have no problem walking up to somebody and hugging them. Others, it's a little more difficult. And again, we need to make sure we're doing it. We need to make sure that we are touching people's lives. Because that's why we're here. We are here to help Christ and the Holy Spirit to help people get out of their sin. Not by giving them a list of do's and don'ts. Not by giving them, well, here's what you need to do. If you do A, B, and C, oh, I know you're sitting here. This is what we need to do. You need to pray. You need to read this many verses every day, which you do. We don't need to give people a laundry list of things they need to do. We need to love them and walk with them and tell them our story and show them who Jesus is. And let Jesus do the work. You and I were never meant to save anybody. Okay? It's not us who's doing the saving. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus who's doing it. Our responsibility is to be there and to touch their lives. That is where the power is in touch. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Father, we pray that you would help us to see those moments when we have an opportunity to show someone how much you love them by showing them how much we love them and how much we're willing to lay our hand in their hand and say, I love you and Jesus loves you. Let's walk through this together. Father, we praise you for your kindness. We praise you for the love that you have for us, the love you had for that leper. You are willing to make us clean. Please make us clean. You are worthy of our praise and all the honor that's due you because of what you've done for us. Be with us. Lead us and guide us, Father. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.